And we're going to start in the Gospel of Luke once again tonight in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. How many of you ever had an itch on your foot where your shoe is? And you're like, So if you see me doing something like that, that's what it is, okay? That's what it is.
I'll understand.
Luke chapter 14 is where we're going to start. And we've been looking on Sunday nights in the month of January, some thoughts from God's Word, some truths from God's Word about God's economy, about how His perspective is on money. And I'm sure we could spend all year doing that. But Lord willing, the goal is to complete that tonight with some thoughts. And we start here in Luke chapter 14. Take a look at verse number 28. And I'll read for us verse 28 to verse number 30. And then we'll share some thoughts on that. The Bible says in verse number 28, Jesus here speaking, He says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." And if we were to read the rest of the passage, we would see this is a practical illustration of a spiritual truth. What he gets to is the cost of living a life for him, the cost of giving everything over to him. But here he shares very practically, if any of you have a need for a building or something that needs to be built, and yet you don't sit down and you consider how much it's going to be, how much materials you need, if you have enough finances for it and so forth, then it would be foolish to even start. It would be a foolish thing to start. Well, certainly we can't stop in midstream the cost to live in this world. It would be nice if we could stop eating for a month, or just eat every other week. And we'll cut down on the budget, you know, that way, whatever. But things still have to be paid for, and they do take financial ways to pay for them. But God provides. We know that. God's provision is in so many different ways, but certainly He uses us to meet most of those needs. The Bible has always had the answer for our finances. Tonight we want to look at some practical tips that God addresses in dealing with money. So I want to share with you tonight God's economy. It has practical steps to avoid financial collapse. Practical steps to avoid financial collapse. These are not the only things God teaches about, but I trust maybe they can help us as we plan out the coming year or however we want to live for God in that regard, with giving and finances and so forth, and trust they can be a help to us before we go on. Let's pray. We'll ask God to help us as we look at God's economy, how it has practical steps to avoid financial collapse. And let's pray. Father, thank you again that we can meet in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord. We've got the Word of God. Thank you for those that have good counsel for us. And we certainly have no limit to those things, books that help us. But yet, Lord, it's your Word that holds the truth and everything has to agree with. So now I pray as we study it, as we look into it, Lord, help us to consider where we're at and how we plan to use what you give us, the supply. May you get the glory through the things that are said and done. Even though we're talking, Lord, about these things, we know it is a spiritual matter. And we need Jesus Christ to make the best decision, regardless of what your principles tell us. Jesus is the greatest treasure to have, as we saw this morning. So we pray tonight, help us, Lord, to be great stewards of the things you put in our hands. May you get the glory in all things, in Jesus' name, amen. God's economy, it has practical steps to avoid financial collapse. I've got five things that I see in Scripture that I trust will be a help to us. They've been a help to me personally and our family. And there's more things that probably we should have done and could have done, and you can help me with that. But tonight we want to share, at least from God's Word, some of these practical exhortations and things. And they're very simple. They're very simple. You say, well, that's it? Yeah, that's it. Number one, Proverbs chapter 27. Let's go there. Most of them are in the book of Proverbs. We find them in there. And we'll start in chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. And look at verse 23 and 24, please. The Bible says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation?" Number one, practical step, keep good records. Keep good records. How many have ever been in an accident before? Whether it was you or somebody else, you were there. What's the first thing the police officer does? He pulls out his pen and her pen. Now today it's probably an iPad or whatever. But the first thing he does is he writes down or records everything you say. Because if it doesn't get recorded, it didn't happen. In the eyes of his boss and for the reports he's required to share, if he doesn't write it down, it didn't happen. And the truth of the matter is, when you consider finances, if we don't keep good records, a lot of times what we think happened, it happened worse than it did. Or we don't know where it went, and we realize, man, we need to start finding out what's going on. Here the Bible says, know the state of thy flocks. Now, whether that's, of course, it's an agricultural community that Proverbs is referring to, but anything that God puts in our hands, keep good records. Here's some thoughts on that. Know what I own. Know what I own. I have no debt on it. Know what's mine. Know what I own. Know what I owe. Know what I owe. Remember the old bumper sticker used to say, "I owe, I owe." Yeah. It's off to work I go. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But it's good to know not just what you owe, but who to who, how much, etc., and keep records of that. Know what I earn and know where it goes. Know what I earn and know where it goes. That could be the simplest thing. Just keep, you know, somehow keep all the receipts and find out where it's all going. And then you can go from there with a plan after that. But God says he wants you and I to keep good records so that we're not caught by surprise. Something comes up. How many have ever found that surprises come up during a month? Yeah, so things come up. You didn't plan to purchase or didn't plan to have to buy. If you own a vehicle, how many have owned a vehicle here tonight? I think that Ford, GM, all the vehicle makers somehow are in cahoots with the devil. They put evil spirits in our vehicles and they act up every now and then, and something has to be fixed. We don't always plan, we don't always know when it's coming. So things happen. That's why we need to keep good records and know and at least consider where it needs to go. Proverbs again, chapter 21. Let's go there. Keep good records. That's the first practical step. Chapter 21. Let's go there. And in today's world, with all the apps and programs and things that are out there, that's one of the easiest things to do anymore than it used to be. Whereas, you know, you used to have a whole shelf that you needed empty for keeping records. Now you can just do it on electronically and have it at the tips of your fingers almost. But it's helpful. Number two, Proverbs 21. Take a look. Verse number 5. We'll start there and then we'll go down to verse number 20. The thoughts, verse 5 of Proverbs 21, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want. Let's go down to verse number 20, please. Would you read that with me? Verse 20, we're in Proverbs 21, verse number 20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Number two, plan my spending. Plan my spending. When I say my, I mean you, all of us. plan my spending. Some questions that someone shared with me I thought were helpful before spending on something is this, and this can be something we could just mentally consider. Do I need it? Am I going to die without it? Do I need it now? Do I need it now? We have sought, how many ever heard of Dave Ramsey? He's pretty well known nowadays as a kind of a Christian financial guru. I don't agree with him on everything. Truthfully, I think he puts where giving to the Lord, he keeps that the last thing, whereas I think that should be your first thing. But anyway, his practical steps are very helpful. And these are some things he shared. Do I need it? Do I need it now? He said, if you feel that compulsory to purchase something, wait 24 hours. Wait 24 hours. Sleep on it. Maybe God will speak to you as well. Pray about it, of course. Do I need it now? Number three, will I need it later? Will I need it later? Well, I know we're getting low on this, or that's going to be happening. We need it later. At a later time, perhaps we can help and wait till then. David Gibbs Jr. says this, God will meet your needs, not your greeds. Not your greeds. Yeah. God will meet your needs. The greeds, I think he leaves up to you. He does not plan to help out with those, but he does certainly meet needs. Three questions, three things to do before spending. Number one, pay off debts. Yes. Pay off debts. Pay off debts with the debt snowball. How many have ever heard of a debt snowball? We can go outside tonight, we can label it debt, and we can throw it at each other. That's a debt, no, it's not the debt snowball. Debt snowball means this. For example, if you have three different debts, and one is $100, another one's $50, another one's $20, and you're given time to pay those off. The debt snowball, the idea behind that is to pay a little extra on the smallest debt you have, the $20 amount. Get that paid off. When that is paid off, add that to the next smallest amount, the $50 amount. When that's paid off, add that to the next larger amount, the $100 amount. That's a debt snowball. Does that make sense? Debt snowball. And you can see if you've done this before. How many have ever done that before? I'm here to tell you, it is amazing, and it encourages you in many ways as well as helps take care of debt. Pay extra on the smallest debt while staying current on all others. So you have to still pay your responsibility. Once a debt is paid off, add that amount to the next highest debt, pay off the largest last. Another idea to consider before spending is this. Research the big purchases. Research the big purchases. I think most of us do that as we talk. Research the big purchases. We always try to get the best deal or the most durable for the money, etc. As God allows, research those purchases. And number three, seek counsel. Seek counsel. Oh man, I wish I could go back and tell myself a few things. How many of you ever felt that way? I wish I could go back and tell myself a few things, because we just simply thought, I know what it is all about. Seek that counsel. And I said four things. There's three things. Actually, there's four. Be ready to say no. No. When does a baby cry the loudest? When you tell them no. And that is not easy to get used to, is it? No, you can't have that right now. And that is where the self-discipline comes in. Because the truth of the matter is, your yearnings will always exceed your earnings. That's where that phrase, the grass is always greener, where? That's over there somewhere. And I'm going to get there someday. But your yearnings will always exceed your yearnings. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be content. Or can't be content, but it certainly means that we need to realize the flesh is involved in our spending, in our finances. We need to get a handle on it before it gets a handle on us. Keep good records. Plan my spending. Number three, practical step. Save for the future. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Save for the future. Well, man, after one and two, I don't know if there's anything left. Well, he can be like my son and gather all the pennies he can find and toss those in a can and, you know, little by little, see what can he put together. When he starts finding bills around the house, that's when I say, wait a minute, that's not yours. That's not yours. That's somebody else's, I think. Or we can work something out. All right. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 8. And would you read those with me? Verses 6, 7, and 8. Let's read them together. All right. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And the idea is when they can't gather it, of course, the gathering, the harvesting comes to a point where it ends, but the needs continue. They have enough for that particular time, save for the future. Here's something that Dave Ramsey, and it makes practical sense, prioritize an emergency fund. Put it somewhere where it's hard to get to. You know, put it in a box, put it a key on it, whatever you got to do, put the emergency fund aside and do it as soon as possible. Because here's the thing. Emergencies will keep coming whether you have an emergency fund or not. How many have learned that already? You don't have to be old to learn that. Emergencies come. They will keep coming whether we save for them or not. But prioritize. Make it happen as soon as possible. Strive to put it aside even this week. Secondly, build that fund to 3 months of annual income as you can. And here's why. How many have ever heard of Indeed.com? Indeed, those maybe have looked for a job. Indeed.com, it's a website, but it is a kind of a marketplace for businesses to hire people. It's basically a place where you go to look for a job. You can connect with a boss or an owner or employer and turn in your information and hopefully works out. According to Indeed.com, the number one job site, at least that's what they say, in the world, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics shows that the median unemployment duration, meaning the longest time typically to go from one job to another, this was in July of 2024, was about 5 months. 5 months. A job that would actually pay what you had if you had to lose or move on from one to the other. 5 months. That's a long time. Almost half a year. And consider all the costs that go on in that amount of money or that amount of time. So 3 months would be a wise amount to consider to set aside. Again, not easy, but it has to be considered and self-discipline. No one's going to do it for you. That's right. No one's going to do it for you. But save for the future. Just like the ant does in that practical illustration. Number 3, save for the future. Number four. Let's go to Proverbs here again, chapter 21 again. We were there earlier. Let's go to there again, and we'll look at a different verse. Chapter 21. So we want to keep good records. Know what's going on. Have a good handle on it. Plan my spending, certainly in regards to the debt. Work on that, but also plan for emergencies. Save for the future. And then number 4, enjoy what I already have. Enjoy what I already have. Proverbs 21, as long as it's not broken, enjoy what I already have. And take a look at verse number 17. And some folks, this is not on their radar. That's okay. I'm okay with that. If you can afford to live with new things all the time, that's wonderful. But most of us cannot do that. Verse number 17, here's what it says. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The goal, by the way, let me say this. The goal in God's economy is not to be rich. That's not his goal. His goal is whatever you have, that it be used for him in some way, shape, or form. And we're going to look at that in a minute. But as we consider these things, here's another couple questions to consider as we look at enjoying what I already have. Do I seek the pleasures of this world, Or do I seek the provisions of Jesus Christ? Do I seek the pleasures of this world? Do I seek the provisions of Jesus Christ? We read it this morning back in Hebrews chapter 13. If you want to turn there, you can. Verse 5 and verse 6. Here's what Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, anybody remember the next phrase? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Some of our, old timers, I shouldn't say that, right? I should say experienced people, all right? May remember this old phrase, use it up, wear it out. Make it new or do without. Use it up, wear it out, make it new or do without. That probably even goes back more than some of us are. That was during the Depression. That was something that was shared a lot, almost 100 years ago now. But enjoy what I already have. Let God use it in your life. Seek the provisions that he's provided and use them up as much as possible. I've got an old snowblower. And man, I'm glad I bought it when I did. But how many have found out that mechanical things sometimes need maintenance? Yeah, a shovel, okay. Well, you got to replace that too every now and then. Anyway, you got to replace those things too. But things have to be replaced that are made by man eventually. But use them as much as the Lord allows you and see it as God's provision. We don't want to seek the pleasures of the world. We want to enjoy the blessings of Jesus Christ as God allows. Enjoy what I already have. And then the final one is this. Honor God, and we looked at this last time actually, more specifically, but just to remind us, honor God through giving. Honor God through giving. Proverbs chapter 3, let's go there. Proverbs chapter 3. And look at verse 9 and verse 10, please. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. This is where I think guys like Dave Ramsey and others, they kind of miss the mark on what God says. It's the first thing should be on our mind is how we can give back to God. That should be the first thing. After that, that's what we work with. But let God have his part because he's the one that helped us provide. Amen. He's the one that gave it to us. He deserves his first hand on it. So this brings up a couple thoughts. Regularly give to God. You know this. Even when you have debt. Regularly give to God even when you have debt. 1 Corinthians 16, this is verses that are commonly used when we consider giving, especially in the New Testament church, says this, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Here's what the verse says in verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. He did not say everyone who has enough to give, or everyone who has no debt, or everyone who's not in dire straits. He says every one of you. This is something as a Christian God wants me to consider and do regularly. Regularly give to God when you have debt, even when you have debts. And God certainly wants us to consider him first. Investments in eternity will yield eternal results. Was not my plan necessarily to share this on the night we're gonna, you know, look at missionaries, but I think that's a great illustration of eternal results, don't you? Look at some of the missionaries we support in Taiwan, in the Congo, in Papua New Guinea, and all over the world where they have led people to Christ. There's souls that are on their way, and some of them are there after time, they pass away or whatever, but missionaries that we support led them to Christ. What an exciting thing to consider that some of those monies helped with that need, and God can use it for eternal results. Regularly give to God, even when you have debts. And by the way, it doesn't have to go outside of Eaton Rapids either. You know, we share Bible tracts, we share information with people, we strive to draw them to Christ. Some of those things we use money to do, and God can lead them to Christ too, and has in the years, over the years. Give to God when you have debts. Secondly, and finally, let's go to Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is when the Apostle Paul's journey kind of began. First, he was going to go to Jerusalem, but while in Jerusalem, he was he had to defend himself, so he appealed, the Bible says, unto Caesar. And so he understood this was going to be a journey that he may never come back to see the people he was talking to. We're in chapter 20 of Acts chapter 20. Look at verse number 32. The people he's talking to here specifically, he had a preacher's meeting at Ephesus. These were not wealthy men, nor were they financial wizards. But Paul gave them some financial exhortation in this chapter. Take a look at verse number 32. And let's do read that together. Well, shall we? Verse 32, we're going to read down to verse 35. Let's read it together, please. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. By the way, this is the only place you find those words about the Lord Jesus. He said it to the disciples and the apostles, apparently. They certainly remembered it. Paul wrote it down here, but it's not in the Gospels. But yet it's in the Bible, amen. And it means it's truth for you and me. The Bible tells us we need to regularly look for others to give towards. Regularly look for others to give towards or to for their need as well. Again, we looked at this last week, I think, how God uses us to be the answer to somebody's prayer. But we can't do that unless we have a good handle on what he's given us to do. We're not going to be looking for something else, some others who might be in need of help, if we choose to be irresponsible with what he's given us. God says, listen, you can do it. I'll help you. But here's some practical things you need to follow through. God's financial blessing always includes a way to bless others. If we follow his plan, we can expect more opportunities to be used by him to be that blessing. Jesus was never stingy nor selfish. We earn, spend, and give to be more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And what did he give? Everything. Yeah, he left heaven for us. He gave us heaven. He gave it to us as we've put our faith in him. And a life to live personally with God. What a blessing to carry that out. I trust these are helpful things. Again, you may have some others, and I'm certainly open to adding to these. But practical steps, we've got to be able to put it down practically. Okay, we can talk about it all we want, but there's got to be something practical to do, and God does have answers for us in that regard. So keep good records. Plan my spending. Save for the future. Enjoy what I already have as much as possible. Honor God through our giving. Heavenly Father, help us to see what you see so that we can better be equipped, Lord, in a sense, to be a help for you and to others. May you use this, Lord, in our family, in our personal life, But certainly, Lord, for the needs of the church and the ministries of the church, Lord, may you get the glory through all these things, because that's the ultimate goal, is that you get the glory, Father, and that Jesus Christ's name is held up high here in Eaton Rapids and where we live, and through what you share with us. May you get the glory even tonight, Lord. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Ray is going to lead us in a final song. If God's spoken to you, why don't you respond to him? Ask him some of these things, or maybe something else that we didn't talk about at all. God's got on your heart. Why don't you talk to him about it tonight as we sing number what?
458.
458 with standing.